In this episode, you're going to learn how to do your thought leadership videos on the cheap.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey now, guess what? I'm in Gothenburg, Sweden. I'm speaking tonight in front of a large group of marketers and video creators, but I've got a special guest with me right now. I've got Thomas Hofland. Thomas is a listener of the podcast and a frequent commenter and contributor and sharer of the content. Thomas, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, I pulled up and in the car and I saw you through the cab, and instantly I was like, I know that guy. I talk to him all the time.
Yeah, it's the first time you see me actually in real person.
So that's right. So, Thomas, you don't live in Gothenburg. You live in Sweden. Tell me about where you live, where you do business, and then what the distance is for between where your home is and where Gothenburg is.
Well, I live in Karlstad. That's right about 250 kilometers from Gothenburg, so in the middle of Sweden, pretty much. Right in the middle between Stockholm, Oslo in Norway, and Gothenburg. So it's right in the middle.
And if you're an American and you're listening and you don't really know what 250 kilometers is, just do what I did and guess, and then round to, like, I don't know, 300 miles, and then you're probably right. It's probably somewhere in there. This city's really cool. It's got a really unique blend of, like, of water coming into the middle of the city and some beautiful trees, a lot of grass, some shopping district that we're in right now. How would you describe Gothenburg?
Well, we're in the western part of Sweden, so it's the west coast. And here on the west coast, they like to call it the best coast. Mm-hmm. And it's the second largest city in Sweden. It's an old harbor, fish industry, I guess. So it's next. Well, it's a sea city.
Yeah. So. Well, it definitely is beautiful. You could tell there's a lot of character here. I grew up on the west coast of California on the beach, and they would say there in, like, their favorite gangster accent, they would say "West Side," and so we're on the west side of Sweden right now. And so one of the topics Thomas and I at lunch decided we wanted to talk about was how to do thought leadership and to do it on the cheap. And it happens to be one of my favorite topics because I do all of my own video creation. And so the content that I push out is all stuff that I either record on my own with a DSLR or with a phone. And so let's spend a few moments and talk about that. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds brilliant.
Okay. And so I think ultimately the goal, you know, with digital marketing, everything always starts with that core goal. So when I'm doing it, the goal is always what topics or what type of information would be helpful in order to achieve that goal. So let me tell you what my goal is. I want to make sure that anybody that follows me or is a client of mine sees me chiming in on important topics that are developing in my sphere of influence, right? I want to be their thought leader. So first and foremost, take a topic, whatever that might be. If you are a teacher, or maybe you're a, let's say you are a somebody who specializes in training people, then, and that might be more applicable, then what I want you to do is think about the topic that you train around, keep an eye on the news, and then use those topics to help you get back in front of your target customer. If you are a physician and you want to be a thought leader, well, then you should be creating, and this is what I do, is I've created a Google, in Google News, I have tracked all of the video marketing and social media related keywords. And so anytime something pops up in there, I'll go in every couple of days. I do it every day, but I will pull stories from that that are relevant that should end up in the podcast. And then once I read those articles, and if I like them, they end up in the podcast, but then I can also repurpose that into a thought leadership video, right? And so what I'm really doing is I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm doing the same content that I'm going to do in the podcast. It'll be in the in video tips. They might be flushed out differently in one format to the other. But that's kind of where it starts for me, is curating what is that sphere of influence that I need to make sure that I'm always up to speed on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, while we get started, tell the audience a little bit about your business and the type of work you do, and then I'm going to use that when we describe your thought leadership content. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great. My company is called Animotion, and we're coming from a more traditional filmmaking background. Been doing videos for our clients for 8 years, and I myself has been in the business for almost 20 years doing videos, and the last, say, 3 or 4 years, I've been looking to how to do video marketing. I've been reading up on to become a digital marketer and to understand the landscape, how it all works and how it all fits together. And well, we're starting to get there with our company, that we can use this knowledge and help our clients, and they start to want to make more than just videos. They want to get a result with their videos. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to get there in that sense, that we're getting to be known for it, that we also work with the strategy part.
Yeah.
So some of our newer clients are coming to us because of that. Yeah. We still have our old clients that's just doing films also. So it's a mix at the moment.
But the existing clients, you're hoping to transition into other digital services that you can provide. And new clients, you want to provide strategy and the video and then how they turn that into revenue. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's about.
All right, super. Now, I know from our conversation at lunch that you know, you have a traditional video background. For the gearheads that are out there, what's the gear that you typically shoot with? I think you're a GH5 guy, is that right?
Yeah, I've been using the GH5 since it's kind of cheap.
Yeah.
And it's gets you great results if you have the right lens and the right equipment. And we also do a lot of motion graphics, animation also. So it's usually a mix between the two medias.
Yeah. Now I own maybe 4 or 5 GH5s and 3 GH4s. And we love those cameras. They're inexpensive, really high quality. You can do great things with them. On this trip, I brought with me, well, by the way, Wirebuzz right now has a shoot going on in San Francisco and one in the Los Angeles area. So we have 2 different teams out there right now. And so when I went to come on this trip, what was left for me was the 5D Mark III, which is the Canon. And so that's what I brought on this trip. I'm excited to use it. It's one of my favorite cameras. It's a fabulous still photography camera. But for my thought leadership videos, it'll totally do the job, and it'll be fun for me to work on it. The trick on this one is, you know, that screen, the monitor screen, the display that's on the back, and on a GH5, you can swing that display around. So if you are facing if you're the one-man band and you're on camera, but you're also adjusting everything, you can see the display, right? But on the 5D Mark III, you can't. So that's my big trick on this trip. And what's funny is it's only a problem because it's 2018, but in 2014, I didn't have the option of a swing around display on any of these cameras. So I get to go old school, and it should be a lot of fun. Now back to the topic. This is what happens. If you have attention disorders like me, you'll digress every once in a while and get off topic. But today's topic is really about how any of you on a shoestring budget can create your own content and use that content to get out in front of potential prospects so they can know, like, and trust you. And then the other value that comes from these thought leadership videos is you also can reel in your existing clients, stay top of mind when they see you pop up in social media and you're talking about smart things. And then they remember, oh, we need to talk with Todd or Thomas about their video work. So it works both ways. And I particularly like it. So here's how I do it. There's advice that happens throughout the workday that I'm giving to clients, and I'll keep a yellow notepad and I'll write down those questions that clients are asking. If it's a frequently asked question that comes up often, then it's a great thought leadership video topic because I know it's not just applicable to the person that asked me, right? And do you have questions that people ask you all the time that you advise on?
Yeah, I guess, but I'm not as, what do you call it? I don't take notes that often. I guess I should be starting out.
Well, because what I've discovered is it's like a gold falling from heaven. When you just sit there and you go, oh, that's the question I should be, oh, got it, right? Especially if you hear yourself answer it and you watch the light bulb in the client's head go on and you go, oh, that worked for them. I should create a video about that. So just keep a little notepad, and I'm sure that you've got maybe 7 to 10 questions that come up all the time that you already know how to hit a home run off of, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? So just keep a list on that. And what I do is, I'll give you an example for video marketing. Here's the question. Well, how long should a video be? Like, I get that all the time, so much that it kind of annoys me. And now I've got to create a video about it because I know that if a prospect or a client is asking me, then there's thousands of people that are interested in that topic. How long should a video be, right? Or I get them, how much does a video cost, Todd? I get that all the time. So I keep a list of all these questions. How long does it take to make a video, right? And all of those types of questions would fit into early awareness stage. These are topics that people are having before they know about the solutions that you provide and how great your video work is. But those are the questions you want to be answering because you can interrupt their pattern when they're on LinkedIn or on Facebook and start providing them some education around that topic. So when they get down to making a decision of, hey, we should really reach out to somebody. Does anybody know somebody who owns a camera? They instantly think about you. Cool? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely.
All right. And then what I do with these is it all depends on what your skill set is. If I know you also write and that you write scripts, and I would recommend writing, taking a simple question and then writing the answer. And just like I do with the podcast, I would say, do a teaser at the beginning. In this video, I'm going to explain how much a video costs. And then you're produced open. And I've seen your produced open. Did you make the one for the Todd's Coming to Sweden video? Did you make that produced open?
Yeah.
See, that's good work. So then you create your own little produced open. And then you come back and you answer it. And so then the way that you answer it really is, how do you film it? And how do you do it on the cheap? And how do you take that script so you can have access to it when you're reading? And all of those are really simple. I do my question and answer thought leadership videos, and I film most of them like 90% of the time with my iPhone. And I know that seems for video creators to be sacrilegious because we like to roll out our big guns and then put up our big lights. But the way I typically do it is I use an app. I'm gonna explain it tonight during the speech that I'm giving. But I use an app called, I think it's called Teleprompter Pro, and it's made by Joe Allen Pro, and he's out of the UK. He's a young kid. He might be like 19 or 20 years old. And I load that script into my teleprompter app. And then I either hand hold it, the video, the phone, or I put it on a tripod. Like a, I have a travel tripod in my bag, and a clamp that goes over the phone, and then I just I'm reading the script. But I'm probably going to read it 10 times. Like if I opened up my phone and we went into my gallery and we looked into the video folder, you would see that I've got like 10 or 15 video clips in the same outfit, which should be an indicator. Look, I'll do it right now. It should be an indicator of how many times I redo the same exact piece of content. And what I'm really doing, Thomas, is I'm trying, I have a term in my head, and that term is, let Todd be Todd. And as soon as I get, look, tell people what you see right here.
Well, I see a lot of Todds with a red shirt on.
Right. Todd with a red shirt. And when you say a lot, how many?
I would say 20, 30.
20 or 30, right? Because the script was hard. And when I wrote it like a moron and I didn't make it easy. Look, here's some more Todd in blue shirt. Normally, I think it takes like by maybe the seventh time or the 10th time, I'm just jiving and it's feeling natural. And I hope that anybody that's listening right now doesn't get discouraged on their first take or their third take or their fifth, because the magic really happens around the 10th take. So as you go through it, just make sure you give yourself enough opportunities. Oh, watch this, Thomas. I created a video I went to a wedding on Saturday, and it was the second promo video for this Sweden event. And I sent it to you on Saturday or Sunday. It's probably Sunday. And look, 1, 2, 3, right? And so I have 3 videos, and it was the first one that worked. Oh, 4. And it was the first one on that one where Todd just felt like Todd was being Todd. So as long as you have a bunch of different options, then you can go out and select the one that works best. Oh, and as an editor, what's wrong with taking like, you know, the beginning of number 3 and the middle section of number 14 and the end of number 10, right? Pull all those clips together. And then I would recommend, oh, here's a pro tip. I would recommend you, any of your funny takes that are your bloopers, add them at the very end of your video. Like throw them all in there. And the reason is your audience will appreciate you. They'll laugh at you. You'll get better metrics on that video because they'll go all the way to the end. If you, maybe you even say at the beginning, in this video, you'll learn how long it takes to make a video, right? And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to tease your blooper. You're going to say something in your teaser, like, in this video, I'm going to explain how long it takes to make a video, and stay tuned to the end because you're going to want to see my bloopers. And then as you do that, people will stay to the end. But the times that I have done this, like I was telling you in the elevator that I'm going to Orlando after Sweden or after Amsterdam, and I go to this conference every year. Well, last year when I went to this conference, there's like maybe 12 or 15 clients that go to this conference. I put out a blooper reel right before, and that's all people wanted to talk with me about, is how hard they laughed at my outtakes. So use that as an opportunity, because people will start developing relationships with you around it. All that sound reasonable?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, this teleprompter app that I talked about, I'll show it to you right here. It's Teleprompter Pro, or it's Teleprompter. I'll pop it up tonight on the screen so you don't have to worry about it now. But yeah, so when you use the app, you can then copy and paste your script. I'd recommend you just write that script on your own computer and then email it to your phone. Open it up, copy it, paste it into the teleprompter app. And then when you line up the app, you're going to want to have the words next to the camera. So your eyes are making contact with the lens. Even though you're reading, your eyes are really close to that camera lens. People will think that you're doing it off the top of your head. People will think you're brilliant. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. And so then maybe the next question is, what do you do with those videos?
Yeah, I would like to know that.
Okay.
For sure.
So I think LinkedIn is a major opportunity for businesses right now to be using their thought leadership videos. So I would highly recommend you take your videos and you add them to LinkedIn, and then you natively upload into LinkedIn. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
All right. And so for those that don't, inside of LinkedIn, there is a, when you go to create a post, you'll notice that there's an icon for a video camera. And I'm going to want you to not record into LinkedIn, but to create this video and to produce it in your computer, however you do that. When it's complete and final, then you're going to go and click on that video icon, the video camera icon, and it'll pull up your browser for your computer. And browser, that's not it. You want to browse on your computer and then select the file and upload it. And LinkedIn will give you some extra marketing juice, because LinkedIn is trying to get more people to use video. So this is like a great opportunity to get to magnify your exposure. And LinkedIn seems like it is the right platform. Now, if your video is short enough, you can also upload it into Twitter, and you can use that video on Facebook. And I would recommend creating a, if Instagram is a platform that is valuable to you, I'd recommend creating a different version for the right dimensions that you would put onto Instagram. Sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also possible to do the captioning also now on LinkedIn, and that's great.
And I think the captioning is really important.
Yeah.
Because LinkedIn's going to be doing autoplay on the video. Facebook's going to do autoplay on the video. And most of the audience won't be listening to the audio. So if you put the words there when your client is in a conference room meeting and they're terribly bored and your video pops up in their feed, they'll sit there and read it instead of listening to their boss talk. And that's a great opportunity for you to get additional exposure. And I think most people know that when you're out and about or you're waiting in a doctor's office, you're probably not going to turn the audio on. So having the words is beneficial, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So what else? On that, if you see something pop up in the news and it's in your sphere of influence, don't hesitate to create a piece of content about it. And I recommend being early instead of being late. We used to say in the radio all the time, we don't have to be first, but we have to be right. And so I think you should be more focused on being accurate. So do your own research. When I do a video tip, if I have to do research, there might be 3 or 4 articles that I'll read, and I'll pull portions of each into it. And then before you know it, I've got a really well-rounded script that I've created. But news is interesting. News is a great opportunity because there's already built-in excitement around a breaking or developing news story. So you could tell as a listener, I've been talking frequently about Facebook and the big Zuck, Mark Zuckerberg's news. Have you noticed I've been doing stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I'm doing that is because I know that that's what people are interested in. I might not be terribly interested in the Facebook topic, but I know that there's a lot of eyeballs out there that are looking for information about what's going on with Facebook and what it means. And so I look at that as like a wave. That is a wave of public interest. I grew up in a beach town. I grew up surfing and body surfing and boogie boarding. And the only way that you catch a wave is if you start paddling before the wave breaks, and you paddle early and you get into the momentum. So a news story is like that wave. The surge of interest is coming at you. And if you're in front of it, you can allow that interest to push you all the way to the shore, which means the natural force of everybody's interest is going to do most of the work for you. So in order to catch waves early, like if I did a story now about Mark Zuckerberg testifying before Congress, that wave's already passed. People aren't that interested. But if I see in a story that in 2 days, Zuckerberg is going to be testifying before Congress, it's smart for me to start preparing and start paddling into that wave of public interest long before everybody and my mother starts cranking out content. And my mom creates content like a boss. So you've got to make sure that you're first and you're early to the party, but you're accurate. And so that's why I tee off on those topics. Seems reasonable, right?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Todd, how would you suggest you use set up a long-term strategy with digital marketing and video for a smaller company, for instance?
Yeah, it's a smart question, and I don't think enough people spend time thinking about it. So I look at these thought leadership videos that we've talked about in this episode as being perishable videos, and meaning that just like something perishable in your refrigerator, like, you know, like sour cream or milk, it's going to go bad after a little while. So it's got a short shelf life. So that's what I consider to be these thought leadership videos. And they're really just designed to create early awareness for people to know who Thomas is and the great work that Thomas does. And those are the ones you film with your phone. And the ones that are on your website, like on your homepage or on a product page or a customer journey, those are your higher quality videos, the ones that you use with your DSLR, the ones that you shoot B-roll with, that you have the right lighting, that you probably have a makeup person there for, and the ones that have a really compelling script that gets people through the content in the least amount of time possible, right? Those are the videos that live on your website. And so all you're really doing is you're creating, oh, by the way, remember I used the term perishable. Perishable will be your social media videos. Those are the videos that you can cut corners on, that you can film with your phone, that you can produce inexpensively. And you should be pushing those out regularly. But on your website, those are the videos that you should be doing a higher production value with. So if you're a listener, those are videos that you would hire someone like Thomas or myself to create. And those videos are non-perishable.
And which one would be the most important?
Yeah, that's, I would say the homepage explainer video is the most important video. And the reason is probably 95% of all the traffic that comes to your site will go through a homepage at one point or another. And that's like the elevator pitch. And then when somebody, if you have multiple personas, and I'm going to describe a persona for a second. If you are, oh, in a past episode, for those of you who have been listening, I talked about a university that we created a strategy for. And we've got a bunch of university clients, but this is one that we just recently did. In their strategy, they have multiple personas, so different target customers. For the university, it's a little easier to understand. They have students, they have parents, they have educators, and they have donors, right? Those are their four groups. And I had to look at my fingers to make sure I had four out because it really looked like three. So I'm a little jet lagged. So what you want to do with those is each one of those persona groups, they need to have their own landing page that's specific to that group. So if you are trying to target, let's say, a student and you're a university, that whole page is written all for a student and their interests, and all the videos on that page start off from early awareness. You explain what the student experience is going to be like. And then as you go down the page, you're going to have a validation video. And I'm going to go into depth with this tonight. And so that validation video is what people would call a customer testimonial. Those should live on that same page on a customer journey. And so if, let's say, you are a video creator and you specialize in the medical space or technology or maybe business to consumer, then your business consumer content, you should have a page devoted just for that target customer. The top of the page has an explainer video. That explainer video explains in the words that target customer is looking for, for business to consumer products. And as they go down that page towards the middle to the bottom, you should have a second video that is a customer validation that tells the story about how Thomas, how Thomas helped create a solution for them that changed the trajectory of their business. And when that customer tells their story, their testimonial, they should be telling it through their words, and you shouldn't be the hero. The customer should be the hero, but you should be the mentor. You're like Obi-Wan. And the person that is your customer, the reason they need to be the hero of the story is because the person watching it is going to be related to them. Of course, not by, you know, they don't have the same parents. They have the same interests because of the same persona, right? They're, if we're talking about business to consumer, somebody who comes onto that page is looking for B2C information, and the person that is doing the testimonial needs to be raving about how they solved their problem, and their mentor, which would be like you in this scenario, Thomas, help them solve it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because on that page, what you're really trying to do is give them all of the essential information they need in order to make a smart buying decision. And people don't want to talk to a salesperson anymore. So you got to make sure that that information's at their fingertips, because once it is, they go through it like they're on a water slide, and they slide right through your funnel effortlessly.
And how much effort would you put into researching for your personas?
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that, because traditionally I would have said to myself, very little. But now I'm really starting to see the value of it. The information that I give on this podcast often is information that happens before it's materializing on my own website. Okay, that's how early it is. I'm seeing that it's working on clients' websites. Typically, my website is the wirebuzz.com website is the last one to get the value of what we're seeing because we're so busy. But right now, we are building a customer journey that tells our story. So when somebody is new and they fall onto our website and we want to move them through the process. And really, this is all about the transfer. This is about transferring the information that is in your head as the salesperson into your prospect's head in the least amount of effort possible. Because if your prospect already knows what you know about your product or service, then buying should be a no-brainer. So the reason you want to transfer that information in video is video is an effortless learning tool. And you have to start off from the top of the page where that customer, that new prospect is arriving. And when I say where, I really mean what mental space are they in? What mindset are they in when they come onto that page? And that's where the story starts. Often with content creators, the story starts about our product and service is great because, but people, they don't care about that. By the way, I almost dropped an F-bomb. And then I saw you reacting like I think he's going to cuss, and then I pulled my. So people don't care about that. So you have to make sure they actually care about something a little bit higher, one step up, which is solving the problem that they were looking for when they originally came onto your site. So you've got to figure out what that is. So that's where the research, and getting back to your question, how much research do you put into getting that persona right? If you're selling to the same type of person all the time, it should be pretty easy. Give you an example. We've got maybe 50% of our clients in the medical space. And by medical, I mean like research and diagnostic and genetics and oncology. I mean, it's a big field. But we already know what space they're on in their head when they come onto our site. And you typically, businesses will find in our space that you have two types of the same persona. You have somebody that already has an existing video vendor that might be unsatisfied with the service that they're getting or the strategy of the marketing that goes into it. And then you've got another persona of that in that same mindset, that same person who knows nothing about video. And those are two different journeys. So I would recommend you create two landing pages. They don't all have to be off of your navigation. So they don't have to be like shown off the top of your navigation. It depends. But you may want to put it there. What I do is I have a couple of pages that nobody ever sees. And that's because I want to make sure that when somebody comes onto my site, that they don't get confused and go down a persona journey that isn't for them. But if my team's about to meet somebody that they're going to have a telephone call tomorrow, or somebody's coming to our office tomorrow and they have an existing video vendor and they don't like their video vendor, then we're going to send them a link before that meeting to the customer journey about not liking your video vendor. And then they go through that, and now I'm aligned with where they are when they approach my site or they approach discovering. And on the flip side, if that type of person has never gotten any type of video work done and they don't know that video is the most powerful tool on the internet for business, then that journey needs to start higher up than the one I described before that starts talking about the benefits of video. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just that simple. So what I'm trying to do in every opportunity is figure out where that new customer is, what space they are in their head. And I like to create a customer journey that goes over the most important elements that they need in order to make a buying decision by the time they get to the bottom of that page. Now, I'm not expecting them to buy by the time they get to the bottom of the page, but I need to provide them the information, because in today's world, only 18% of people that are buyers are interested in talking to a salesperson before they're ready to make a buying decision. Only 18%. What about the 82%? That 82% wants to do its own research online. And I want to be there to capture their trust. I want to paint the picture, and I want them to get to the bottom of the page and say, whoa, this guy's really smart. I need to reach out to them. They need to be the ones that are leading the video project. And that's all stuff you can do. So I would recommend, if you want to start at the very beginning, I want you to think about the conversation we had that started this episode. I want to make sure that you recognize that before you start creating thought leadership videos and you do it on the cheap, which is totally acceptable, that when you get started, you create that customer journey first. And you create that customer journey and you do it high quality, because people will judge you by those videos. And then once you have that journey, and you should make that journey based on the most common customer that approaches you. And once you have that journey, then create your thought leadership videos, because people will see it on LinkedIn or on Facebook or Twitter. They'll come to your website to look for more about Thomas. And then you've got your higher quality content there that pulls them through. And then in multiple places down that page, you should have a call to action button that says, contact Thomas, or find out more. You change it up. Everyone should be different, right? And they're going to be different for every company. But as you'll see in tonight's presentation, and as you might have heard during podcast episode 140, and if you want to get access to this, as I tease it, wirebuzz.com/140, HubSpot's rockstar Dan Tyer dropped a bomb in that podcast episode where he said that 80% of HubSpot conversions happen before somebody goes halfway down the page. So you need to have a call to action button in multiple places. And the reason those are happening down the at the top part of the page is people watch the video. The video is the most valuable asset that you're going to have on the page. You got to put it top of the page because people are too lazy to read. And as they go through that page, they'll look at that video and they'll already be making buying decisions. Is that helpful?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And so the other question, you were like, well, what is that video? The video on the homepage on the top is called your homepage explainer video. It is a high-level overview of your business. Then you're going to have a customer journey explainer video, which is for that persona that you're trying to target. And then down the page, you should be doing a customer testimonial video. And when I say customer testimonial, you should be thinking a story and not somebody pushed up against a wall, nodding their head saying, I went to Thomas and Thomas created a great video. You don't want that because people don't watch that anymore. They watched it in 2007, but they don't watch it, you know, 11 years later. And so we have to get sophisticated. Those are stories. You know how to create them. And those are stories with B-roll, right? For those that don't know what B-roll is like supplemental video that helps tell a more compelling or deeper story. An example of this is if Thomas and I were filming this podcast episode, you would have video of us having this conversation, and that would be your A-roll. But you'd also have your B-roll, which would be Thomas and I today walking from the hotel to lunch and then back. And as we walked through town, there would be additional shots, and you would use that with an audio bed. So you'd still hear our voices, but you would see us as we were going through town today. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So those are your primary videos. And if you have a product, you have a product overview video with a customer testimonial, and it's that simple. Now, if you have additional questions, like we've done this so much, you know, when you create 1,700 videos in a year, you realize in your sales process that people stall out. And by stall out, I mean like they get three quarters of the way and then they lose interest and they move on. And you have to figure out why they're stalling out. And so what we do is we have questions. They're frequently asked questions that happen later on in that journey. This is like, how much does a video cost? To be later on, or how much does your video cost, Todd? Or how long does it take from when I sign the agreement to when I get the video? How many revisions on the script am I going to get? Like all of those are important questions for a video creator to have on that customer persona page down towards the bottom, because it answers the questions, and you always want to answer the questions before they get asked. Because the last thing you want to do is let somebody stall out the deal they want to strike with you because there's some questions that haven't been answered yet. So if you handle them in advance and you make them available to people, then people flow through that funnel at faster and faster rates. And when we got started at Wirebuzz, before we added video in our sales process, it took 9 weeks for people to give us a yes, which is just a way too many meetings for somebody like me who has attention disorders. And then we started noticing when we started adding video into our sales process, and I'll break this down tonight. I'll show you some case studies. But people started buying within 3 weeks. And now on average, they're buying within 3 weeks because we're making the right information available. And tonight in this speech, I'm going to show you what I think is the anatomy of the perfect homepage and the perfect customer journey page. And so you'll get access to that. You'll get to see what it looks like. And when you're working with clients on developing their strategy, you can have that blueprint in your head. Sound good?
Definitely. That's what I'm looking for, pretty much.
Absolutely.
So if you want to go further down the funnel, then you start with lead magnets, for instance, or you would like to add mini courses to your marketing, yeah. When's that going to happen?
Yeah, that's tricky because some lead magnets are early awareness and other lead magnets are further down in the sales process. And I think what you ought to do first is have that customer journey in place. These are the essential videos that people need. Once you have those, your choice is you either start creating awareness stage videos, like which I mentioned before, like perishable videos, social media videos. And once you start creating, you have those, you can at that time also create a lead magnet. And it's very smart. Like some of the smartest marketers will create that customer journey and they'll create the thought leadership video and the lead magnet roughly around the same time. But if you have that customer journey done first, then it's live. Now you go into production on your thought leadership videos, which are those simple, perishable videos that we talked about before, and your lead magnet, because if you make them at the same time, then you can add to your thought leadership videos. Oh, and if you want to learn how to guarantee your videos generate ROI, just go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. And now you've moved people from Facebook onto your website, to your lead magnet. Now they're inside of your database, and you can start sending them an email drip sequence of information or update them each week when you do new content. So all of those, there really isn't an exact order, but the first one's the customer journey. Then second and third is a toss-up between the thought leadership videos and the lead magnet. And if I, in a perfect world, I would say do the thought leadership videos and the lead magnet at the same time so you can include the call to action in your thought leadership videos. It'll be much more effective. Cool?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Does that help you kind of figure out in your head like how to organize these?
Yeah, it's starting to get there, and I have to get back and listen to this a couple of more times just to be able to digest all the information. It's great stuff.
It's a lot of information. In the interest of full disclosure, I go back and listen to several interviews. Like if I'm interviewing somebody and the first time I hear it, I might retain 40%. But like Marcus Krieg, who is our director of strategy, is one of the smartest marketers I've ever met. And if Marcus comes on the podcast, I will generally listen to that podcast a second time and maybe a third time, because I know that by the time I've heard it three times, now I'm starting to really grasp what he's saying. So all of this content is designed to be essential information that people can use to be more effective. And really the whole goal is speeding up the sales process, turning more people that you say hello to into customers than ever before. And when you get the right system in place, it's a game changer for business. Cool? All right. So now we've got a little bit of a break. In about 2 hours, we go over to across the street to the Hive, which is where the speech is tonight. And we've got a jam-packed crowd, and that's exciting to see. And we did some guerrilla marketing before the event to make sure that we filled it up. And anyway, I'm going to give you another update while I'm here. I'll probably do another podcast tomorrow. But if you want to get access to this episode, if you want to see the photo that we're just about to take right here in this little study off the lobby of Hotel Royal or Royal Hotel?
Hotel Royal, I think.
Yeah. And this is the oldest hotel. What were you telling me?
Yeah, it's the oldest hotel in Gothenburg.
And it's got a ton of charm. If you want to see the photo of Thomas and I'm going to call it out right now. This will be episode 151. And I know that because I've already recorded episode 150. And my dad appears in the podcast for episode 150. And then you'll get to see Thomas and I in the photo. And some of the photos from tonight will also be on that show notes page. And if this podcast was valuable to you, please share it with a friend, people you trust, somebody you're rooting for. And if you want to subscribe, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And each and every week, just bang on that subscribe button. And each and every week, a new episode will be sent directly to your mobile device. And the goal is always to push out 2 episodes a week. But please know that life is a little bit crazy. I leave here. Yesterday was in Amsterdam. Today I'm in Gothenburg. Tomorrow I'm in Prague working with clients. And so I'm going to try to get you podcast episodes along the way. Please be patient with me. And if any of you have any information or questions that you'd like to share, feel free to send that. Probably LinkedIn is the best way to get a hold of me. And if you want to understand and share with a colleague how to speed up your sales process using the power of video. Thomas, check this. I get to drop a lead magnet right now, right? So if you want to know how to do that, if you want to know how to explain it to a colleague and visually show it, I created a really cool webinar. It's about 35 minutes. It is on demand. You can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/speedo. Why speedo? Well, you'll find out in the first minute of that video, because I literally tell the most embarrassing story of my entire life. And yes, it includes wearing a speedo in public. wirebuzz.com/speedo. And well, I think this is the end of the podcast. We're going to go to that speech tonight. You'll get more information coming up. And it's going to be our goal, Thomas and I, to make sure that the information that we're going to be giving in this episode and the next one helps you become a video marketing master. Peace. Do you want to drop a piece?
Peace.
Right on. We're out of here. All right. So this is kind of like an addition to the podcast episode. I'm here with Thomas, and we just got back from my speech here in, where the hell are we? Okay, we're in Gothenburg. It's just, I probably have slept 6-7 hours in 2 days in order to pull this off. And well, anyway, how did you think the speech went?
It was brilliant, and it's really impressed. And well, you were going on for, was it 85 minutes?
Yeah.
And you were delivering value the whole time. It's brilliant, and it's really an eye-opener for the audience, I think. Definitely.
Yeah, it was really interesting as I was talking about. There were a lot of people who were discovering video as a business tool for the first time there tonight. And I saw faces at the beginning that were a bit resistant, that by the end were nodding their head. And it was a big group. It was standing room only. It was fun.
Yeah, definitely. And since I'm an avid listener to the podcast, I've been listening for like 2.5 years or so. And I think it's important that you come here and you sing the gospel to the people, yeah, about the video part. And it's so worth it for me as a business owner.
Yeah.
It's an eye-opener. Wow. So it's great stuff.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a real honor to come out here and speak and to spread the good gospel, but to also get to spend time with you. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell the audience how they can find out about you and your business?
Yeah, definitely. You should go to our webpage, animotion.se. Well, it's
how do you can you spell that?
A-N-Y-M-O-T-I.
Oh, any motion.
Any motion.
Any motion. A-N-Y-motion.se, yeah. Which S-E is Sweden.
Yeah. And it's in Swedish. I guess you have to use Google Translate or anything for translation.
Do you know that it's so funny. I don't know if I even think I've told you this. So whenever we would post stuff for this event, it kind of went like a little viral in its own way, and people started posting and commenting, and I would go and I can't read anything in Swedish, so I would like skim over it, and I'd see like rock star, and I'd go, and Todd Hartley, and I go, well, that's got to be good, and then I go look at the next one, and I can't, I'm like, oh man, I wonder if they hate me, and then I would copy, and I would paste it into Google Translate, and I was like, oh, they love me. And it kept going for like 2 weeks since we announced this event. There were so many people that were chatting it up that I had to keep going and looking to see what people were saying.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And the event was sold out, so it's. I'm happy.
Super.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me out here in Sweden. It's just the people were really beautiful, really responsive to the power of video marketing, and it was just a whole lot of fun to carve out some time to come out here and spend it with you.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I speak for all of us and I say it's our pleasure you're coming here, so thank you.
Awesome. Now, as Thomas knows, I've got a early morning to go to Prague for our client shoot, and I'm speaking out there, so we're going to cut this short. But we'll stay tuned to the next episode. A lot of fun coming up on this journey as we're continuing to bring you the latest news and spread the good gospel about the power of video marketing.